You may be seated. You may be seated. It's an honor to be here, and I don't take this lightly at all. Do you want to hear a story? It's always good to spell the story, isn't it? So, I first came across RCN and Apostle Aroma's ministry in March of 2000. You know, Dr. Sholat that was speaking here one of the previous days, I was on his Instagram account and he posted a video, a really short video. It was like a few seconds, actually, I don't know, maybe a few minutes. And these were the first words I heard. If you're 21 and you've never prayed in tongues for 10 hours, your life is a joke. I was like, who is this man? So I started following more of his teachings from that short clip. And so, like many of you, have watched a lot of Apostle Aroma's teachings. And then, I think in maybe 2021, maybe about a year later, I was just online, and I know a friend of mine based in Birmingham, I think it might be here, Pastor Errol. It's Pastor Errol here from Birmingham, somewhere. He's connected to RCN. At the time, I didn't know. So I saw Pastor Errol had posted a flyer, and the flyer was of an event he was having. And guess who was going to be speaking? It was Apostle Aroma. This was going to be in Birmingham. I live in Manchester. So I go and touch with Errol. I said, Errol, I had no idea you knew this man. It's like, yeah, James, you know, our ministry is now connected with RCN and blah, blah. I was like, wow, that's incredible. So Manchester is 2 hours from Birmingham, 2 hour drive, something like that. So I said to him, you know, Errol's a friend. I've known him for a few years. So I said, listen, if you need any help with this event, just let me know. So he was like, okay. Now, you know, sometimes you say something, but you feel like the... Well, you're not expecting the person to take it seriously. So I said this, and then what happened was maybe a few days later, I was on holiday with my wife. Next thing, I get a call from Pastor Earl, said, hey, James, you know what? You know, you said I could reach out to you if I need any help. I'm like, yeah, okay, what's the problem? He's like, well, I don't have a keyboard player, and I wondered if you would play for this event. I said, Pastor Earl, do you want to kill me? Have you not seen how Apostle Roman talks to the keyboard players? I'm like, please, don't put me in that place at all. He's like, James, I really need you. I'm like, oh, Lord. I'm not lying. I went on a fast to play that keyboard that day. So I was playing the keyboard with fear and trembling. And it was good. Now, there was another keyboard player they had next to me. I don't know who this... I don't know this guy. So, he said he's the one that's meant to be playing. So, he started playing. And what he was playing was strange. And because we're both on stage, I thought to myself, Apostle is preaching. He is going to pick this up. And he's going to think it's me that's doing this. So, I got off the stage. Lo and behold, he's preaching. He turns around to keep up playing. It's like... You're not with me in the spirit. He's like, you're the musician. Find me or get off that keyboard. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And so I finished playing for this event. My heart was just to go and support my friend with this event he was doing. So the event was over. I packed up my keyboard. And by the way, you know, this is just in 2021, I think. So, you know, prayer storm and everything I do still happens. So I packed up my keyboard. I was going to drive back to Manchester. It was very late. As I'm, you know, wheeling my keyboard out of the auditorium, Pastor Errol's like, hey, James, Apostle Roman would like to meet you. I'm like, really? Oh, how come? He's like, oh, you know, tell me a bit about what you do. I'm like, oh, great. Okay. So we met Apostle Roman, and the guy, you know when you meet, there's like lots of people wanting to meet him. And I'm not one of those people. Maybe this is just a lesson. If God wants you to meet someone, you don't have to make it happen. You don't have to try to work it hard and manipulate this and manipulate that. You know, I'm just minding my business. If God wants me to meet, it would happen. I didn't go chasing it. It actually came after me. So okay, the guy who opened, you know, lots of people wanted to meet Apostle Romeo. I'm like, great, okay. The guy opened the door and he said, you have 2 minutes. I'm like, okay. So those 2 minutes were significant because God showed up in those 2 minutes. And there was such a hard connection. And since then, we've been connected. He's a teaching priest that God has raised up from West Africa, from Nigeria, to impact the nations of the earth. And so, as I've been reflecting on why I'm here and what God's doing, I really believe God is forging a revival alliance, bringing giftings and anointings from different parts of the country and different parts of the world that's building up intensity to prepare the way for the end time harvest. And Nigeria is at a trigger point in that move. Did you hear me? When I flew into this country just a few days ago and landed in Abuja, obviously I'm praying in the spirit. As we landed and I'm praying, I said to my wife, goodness me, the spiritual realm is so open over this nation. Wait, don't clap. Because I'm saying, it's so easy to ascend here. When we pray in the UK, how many English people are here from the UK? Am I lying? You're pushing against so much resistance. So if you're in this atmosphere and you can't pray for 6, 7, 8 hours, you're a joke. No. What Apostle Roman said is true. Because you don't know what you have. Some of you are praying hard here. You get there and the cold kills your fire. Many people leave Nigeria going to, did they call it Jackpot or something? Right? They leave Nigeria going to the USA. Oh my goodness. Are you ready this morning? When I met Apostle Roman, one of the things I said to him was, I said this, I was preaching somewhere in London and I said this, and they got so offended because there's a lot of Nigerians there, they didn't give me an honorarium. And this is what I said, the missionaries that left the British Isles years ago, many of them left knowing they will not go back. In other words, they left with their coffins. Many of them died here. Mary Slessor. Name them. You know, Pa Elton. All the missionaries that came to from the British Isles. Many. They died in their youth. They gave their lives for the gospel. They left those shores, coming to West Africa and Africa. They came here ready to die. We go over there just wanting to live. It's an embarrassment to the gospel. All we're concerned about is our comfort. And looking good and sounding good and sending nice pictures and dressing nice, but not affecting anything. The missionaries that came from the British Isles to Nigeria did not come to Nigeria to preach to British people in Nigeria. They came here to learn the language. They came here to learn the culture. They ate with the people. They ate with us. And they learned the culture enough that they loved the people and gave themselves for it. We go over there and we stick together. We don't learn the culture. We don't even have other white friends. We just stick in our groups. And you see, many of you are going over there doing the same thing. If you preach in Nigeria and you preach to Nigerians, and you move to America and all you preach is just Yoruba people, and you move to Brazil and all you preach is just Yoruba people, and you move to Argentina and only Yoruba people gather, you don't have an international ministry. You have a ministry to Yoruba people and Nigerians. If you're going to reach the nations, you have to understand cultures and understand people. Paul had to learn the culture to reach the culture. I go to Nigerian churches, and this is not against all Nigerian pastors. Many of them have a heart to reach the lost. But I step into their churches in America, in the United Kingdom, and they're singing Yoruba songs. And having their culture I'm not depleting or demeaning the culture. But you cannot reach another culture while you're imposing your own. Another culture cannot come into that environment and understand what you're doing. You may want, even if you're going to sing the Yoruba song, you're not explaining to them what you're singing. How are they going to come in there and understand what you're doing? It's like you walk into the church and you're back in Lagos. You're back in Ibadan. I'm like, do you understand you're in the United Kingdom? You're in America. Reach the culture.
Some of you are going to be sent out. You better hear this. Capture God's heart for the people. Don't just go there because you want money and pounds and dollars. They came here ready to die. All we want to do is to live and comfortable. Comfortable people don't change history. Look at, you guys talk a lot about witch doctors. The witch doctors that are doing the money rituals, they themselves are not living in all the, are you with me? Because their conditions are set to make them uncomfortable so that they can host a spirit being. You just want comfort, and comfort kills your momentum in the spirit. So God wants you uncomfortable. That's why you have to fast. That's why you have to pray, because it gets your flesh uncomfortable so that your spirit can engage. But if all you're looking for is houses and cars and money, I'm sorry, you've already fallen. And you will not strike any chord in eternity with that perspective. The Lord is wanting to recruit end time revivalists who are going to capture the spirit of martyrdom. Martyrdom. In other words, they're ready to die. They're ready to die, not for money, not for fame, but for the gospel. And that's why we're here, talking about the life of prayer. You know, we can't talk about the life of prayer without talking about the death in prayer. We want the life, but it's beckoning us to the death. Many of you are not dead yet. Your ambitions are too loud. You want the microphone. You want God to anoint you so that you can be famous. And the protocol people drive you with sirens everywhere. An open of God. A man of God. Man of God. In this country, I think the man of God syndrome has got people to a place of man worship. It's not wrong to honor God. It's not wrong to honor God in people. But you don't worship people. Even when they're preaching error, you're still, it's like you're brainwashed. God is wanting to awaken the Nigerian church. There is so much pollution in the system. So much. Yesterday when we're going to that powerful prayer session, and Apostle Romeo was here praying, he just cried out. I can't remember how he sounded. It's like, Lord, free Nigeria. As he said that, it was like an arrow was shot into my heart. I just started weeping. You know, when a prophetic word or a word from God pierces your heart like an arrow, it's because God shot it. He shot it. So my heart is stirring for this nation. And I'm not the first person to come here and say this. There are many others. I'm not saying I'm the only one. But as an outsider-ish coming in, I'm telling you, don't squander the spiritual deposits that God has placed in you as a nation. There's so much. There's so much He's placed in you. The Lord wants to receive a return on His investments in you, Nigeria. He has invested in you spiritual deposits. But many times those deposits are being squandered on personal gain and personal agendas. But He wants to build His church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Father, as we go into Your word this morning, give us revelation. Give us things that we don't just hear with our ears, but brings about transformation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Acts 7:22. When I saw that clip, before I read the scripture, when I saw that clip of Apostle Romeo saying, if you don't pray for 7 hours, your life's a joke, I shared it on my Instagram stories, and some people were offended. And so my wife said something that I thought was profound. She says, well, if you're in the barracks and you look at the soldiers and you say, if you're here and you can't give me 50 push-ups, you're a joke. Does that make sense in that context? It does. Well, Nigeria is meant to be like a spiritual barracks for raising up end-time warriors of revival. And you're here, yet you're a spiritual weakling. you have the greatest teachers, greatest resources. You have a lot of time. You're single. And yet, you're still a weakling. Oh, I'm fighting with this demon. That is why God has allowed you to face that demon, to build your stamina. Yeah, you're running everywhere to this conference and that conference. And God wants you to lay your own hands on your own head and grow in spirit. All these people you're chasing, do you not think they have to go through their own battles? And they're still going through their own battles. Now, God wants you to rise. It's the day of the saints, not the day of a one-man show. God wants to raise every single one of us to be warriors. Acts 7 says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed. This sounds like a contradiction. Because we read earlier in Exodus, that the same Moses was complaining to the Lord about his stutter. Anyone read that before? But here in Acts, it's telling us that Moses was mighty in words and deeds. So I think something shifted in Moses' life. And what I want to try to do is try to show us some of the dealings of God in Moses that I believe is relevant for us as we contemplate the subject of death in prayer. The prophecy, as many of you would know, about the children of Israel being in slavery was for 400 years. And that was in Genesis 15, 13 and 14. The Lord said that they will be in captivity for how many years? How many years? Now, according to Exodus 12:40, they ended up in captivity for 430 years. And many of you would know this. Now, Exodus 7:7 tells us that Moses was 80 when he confronted Moses. So we can assume that time he confronted Moses was about the 430th year. Is that a fair comment to make? Okay. Then Acts 7:22-23 tells us that Moses was 40 when he attacked that Egyptian and killed the Egyptian. You know the story, right? So if we do the maths, they were meant to be in captivity for 400 years, but they ended up in captivity for 430 years. The 430-year mark, Moses was 80. Let's minus 40 from that. That gives us 390. Are you with me? So when they were in captivity for 390 years, at that year, Moses was 40. According to God's calendar, there was 10 more years to go. Are you hearing me? Because there's 10 more years to go, the Spirit starts to stir. It starts to give visions. I'm convinced Moses would have had some dreams. Moses, a prophet like Moses, there's no way all Moses' life he would not have had some sort of spiritual experience before the burning bush. There might have been some stirring in him about his destiny. Knowing that, in fact, he might not have even known the fullness of what God called him to, but there was a stirring in him for something significant. And obviously, he walks around, you know, he's brought up in Pharaoh's house. He sees an Egyptian terrorizing a Hebrew. And because of the calling on his life, you know what he does? He kills the Egyptian. He kills the Egyptian because he was feeling the injustice of the torment or whatever the Egyptian was doing to the Hebrew. Now, what I'm trying to get at is Moses, without knowing it, was being stirred, but he had not been through the dealings of God. Because he had not been through the dealings of God, what he had in his heart was unsanctified ambition. And that unsanctified ambition led him to be impatient. And when you're impatient with the call of God and his process, you end up birthing an Ishmael. Because he was in a hurry to be used by God without having God deal with him first, something premature happened, and he extended another 40 years in the wilderness, where the Lord starts to deal with him, where the Lord starts to just break him completely. So much so that the same God now came to Moses and said, this is in Exodus 2:23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. Listen to that word groaned, because Apostle Edu was teaching on groaning. You see this? So the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. They cried out to God, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant. And God looked upon the children of Israel and acknowledged them. That groaning, they were groaning, was part of prayer ascending to heaven. They were groaning, and God was using their groans to speed up a moment of encounter with Moses in the desert. Because after this thing about groaning, God shows up to Moses, and God says to Moses, my children are in captivity, I paraphrase. Now, I've come to set them free, now I'm sending you. How many of you remember what Moses said? He said, well, Lord, I don't know if, I paraphrase. He said, Lord, I don't know if I'm the one you should be sending, because I'm a stutterer. So now, the same Moses that was mighty in word and deed, the dealings of God has gone so deep that now he's a stutterer, and he is using that as an excuse not to answer the call that he was eager. Are you hearing me? He was eager to grab the microphone. He was eager to travel the world and preach. He was eager to be the man of God. He was eager to be the next famous worship leader. But he had not been through the dealings of God. But when God dealt with him, he was running away from the very thing that God called him to. Maybe if you're too eager to grab the microphone, we should be concerned. Maybe if you're too eager to get in the music band, oh, can you hear me preach? You're handing out your cards. Hey, come and see me. Anointed man of God. You're posting everything. Maybe we should be concerned, because when God deals with you, you don't really want you. You want him to come through you. So the things that put you in the limelight, you often try to shy from. Oh, there is a great sense of humility and a great sense of dependency, and you don't become these entitled ministers. Too many entitled ministers in Nigeria. They want everything like the gospel was all about them. Have you not read Paul? Maybe I should come down there so that you can see me. Have you not read Paul, the apostle, in prison, and the disciples, how they suffered and died? We want what they had, but we don't want to go through what they went through to get there. I call it delusional hypocrisy. You don't understand that God works life through you by death. In fact, prayer is heavenly technology for killing you. So I am very concerned about prayer movements, even in Nigeria. Give me a husband. Praying intensely. Give me a husband. Give me a husband. Oh, Lord, give my breakthrough. 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 And then we say, let's pray for Nigeria. Oh, Lord, you know, this silly government. Oh, God, well, save Nigeria if you want to. Do you see what I mean? We're going to pray for a car. Oh, give me a car. Give me, Lord. So much intensity for personal breakthrough. There is a psyche in the average Nigerian that if God does deal with it, this cycle is going to keep repeating itself. Because you're here right now praying, and you don't even know what's in you. Because the situations to expose it have not yet arrived. So you think you're okay, but you don't know there is craving, there's greed in you. You don't know, you're saying, God, anoint me, use me. You don't know in that, you're saying it because you had a bad experience, and now you want to be anointed so you can prove yourself to the guy who said you will never be nothing. So now, you build your church, you're like, hey, check me out, I've arrived. You may not be saying it, but your actions are saying, and see, are you hearing me today? You want to pray, but you don't know God wants to kill you. Your ambition is too strong. You just want God to use you so that you can have a large following and be comfortable and be able to travel and snap pictures. hey, you know, we're suffering for the gospel, or we're traveling the world, preaching the gospel, pray for us. But at the core of that is show off. You're show off. You're show off. And God, see, we want revival. And it's delaying because God wants to deal with us. See, there is a prayer engine that God has put in Nigeria to power up the end time revival. But there are too many selfish intercessors. There are too many intercessors that do not have the mind of God. They are consumed with an ideology that's antichrist. In fact, the ideology is of the Babylonian system. It's crept into your thinking. And see, a fish in water does not think about wetness. When you're in this culture for so long, you don't even know that the psyche has got into you. So you don't think, the way your brain works when it comes to ministry opportunities, there are things that God needs to deal with in that. But many of us are not traveling far enough in prayer for him to deal with it. We're still in the outer court. Where all we're looking for is the hand blessings of God. And so we have whole prayer movements that are just focusing on my breakthrough right now. So now you become a liability to the kingdom, not an asset to the kingdom of God. Your presence in the kingdom of God is not causing the kingdom to advance at all. You're just there. Give me, give me, give me. Lord bless me, Lord bless me. How about you bless the Lord? Does God exist for you or do you exist for him? Think about it. There's a version of Christianity that has got corrupted with ideologies from the Babylonian system. And many of us don't know it is in us. Didn't the angel say to Zechariah, your son, John the Baptist, will be great in the sight of the Lord. Notice, the angel didn't say, John will be great in the sight of man. What did he say? So primarily, John is called to be great where? Great where? Do you know you can be great in the sight of the Lord and not be great in the sight of man? For many people, they are after being great in the sight of man. For many Nigerians I have met and interact with, the average Nigerian is all about an exalted influence and platform and be great in the sight of man. But God is calling you to be great in his sight. That means if you're great in his sight, he could hide you for himself. He can choose that no one would ever know your name on earth. But I'd rather be a voice in the heavens than a celebrity on the earth. I'd rather be shifting things in the spirit realm than being popular with man. When I preach, I can move men and women, but when I pray, I can move angels and demons. So I'd rather be moving things in that realm and be famous in that realm than this realm. You are called to be great in the sight of the Lord. Not every one of us is going to hold the microphone. In fact, if God is not giving you the mic, don't grab it. Because the mic comes with its own issues. And God, someone said it in one of the sessions, one of the ministers, that it takes years for God to raise a man. Years. Or a woman. Because of the dealings. Why it takes years is the dealings of God. We in this generation, we want a quick fix. We want a quick anointing that accelerates the process, which is exactly what the devil was going to do. Do you know many people, many of you, your prayer requests, Satan can answer it. And for some of you, if he answers it, as long as it's answered, you're happy. But you're destroyed. Because all you're thinking about is just comfort on this earth. Whereas Lord is looking at eternity. Do you know this life is a rehearsal for the eternal life? As in, when you're done. I don't know if you guys know what internships are. Do you do internships here? Okay, so this life is like an internship for eternity. How you live now. So you could be great in the sight of the Lord and no one knows your name on earth. Are you okay with that? Okay, that yes, that was quite quick. Because I remember when I started praying for revival, seeking the Lord years ago, I felt the Lord say to me, James, are you okay to do what I've called you to do? Even if you appear like a failure in the eyes of the people you're trying to impress. That's not a question you're quick to answer. Because the question itself is revealing something that God wants to deal with. So, you know, it took me a while to process that. And every now and again, I revisit that. And I often say to people, Jesus on the cross was a failure to everyone else. Isn't it crazy that the moment that looked like his moment of greatest failure was actually his moment of greatest success? You cannot judge by nice cars and great preaching opportunities and great fellowship online. There are lots of people who are influential in the Christian world, but they have no sound that resonates in the heavens. They have great voices, but the angels don't even recognize their tone. So who cares if you have great following? I want to know what's going on in the realm of the spirit. What does heaven have to say about your witness and your life, the quality of your devotion? Are you concerned about the applause of men more than you're concerned about what heaven has to say? See, we want to pray. God has put something in the Nigerian DNA. It's like a praying engine, but God wants to refine it so that it starts to produce the right power, the right fire to advance the gospel. Jesus himself said, my house will be called. Notice, we're quick to quote that. He says, the house will be called. So if I call my son Justice, I call him that. If the house of God will be called, it means people look at it and they say what it is. Not you trying to say who you are. They observe it and go, oh, that's who they are. Will be called. It didn't just say a house of prayer. Because people stop there. You read Isaiah. A house of prayer for. Everyone say for. All nations. So he's qualified the type of prayer that the house of God will be known for. It's an outward looking intercessory effort that's advancing the kingdom. Let us take an inventory of the prayer movement in Nigeria right now and look at the content of our prayers. Are you hearing me? As an outsider, is it fair to say a lot of our prayers are not fitting this description? Is that a fair point to make? He says the DNA identity of this house, it would be outward looking. But our house of prayer is always inward looking. Bless me now or I die. Give me my husband now or I die. Are you hearing me? So the prayer fires that should advance the move of God, we are abusing the resources of heaven and using it for our personal gain. How many of you remember John 21? In John 21, Peter and the disciples went fishing. And when they went fishing, they spent all night. Everyone say all night. They spent all night trying to catch fish. They tried, nothing. Then Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, what they couldn't do all night, in one moment, they were able to do it. Now, this miracle is different to the other miracle, which was at the start of their walk with Jesus. At the start of the walk with Jesus, the same thing happened. He told Peter and the disciples to cast their net on the other side. They did, but this time the nets were breaking. Everyone say, nets were breaking. They caught lots of fish, but the nets were breaking. And John 21, when they caught fish this time, guess what happened? The net was not breaking. You know what that's a picture of? The end time revival. There have been moves of God where we have not had the structures to handle it. Internal structures, accountability structures, spiritual structures. And so as the harvest has come in, the nets have been breaking and the system cannot handle it. And our leaders have been falling like flies because we put all the pressure on one man to do everything. Whereas we're all meant to do this together. But when they cast their net in John 21, this time around, the nets were not breaking. And I see that as a prophetic picture that in the end of the age, as we're nearing the return of Christ, the end time harvest, God is going to raise the church to be so strong internally, externally, that we can handle the harvest without breaking. Now, Peter, they threw the net on the other side. They caught lots of fish. They put the fish in the boat. And then I think John recognizes that it's Jesus. Peter gets in the water and reaches Jesus. Now just think about this. They spent all night trying to catch fish. That's what many of us are doing. We're wanting blessings. My wife led a song the other day. I'm not here for blessings. I don't know if you were singing that. You know, we sing a lot of lies in church. You were singing it, but I don't know if you meant it. Because the song goes, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything, I just want you. See, it's easy to sing, but let the rubber hit the road. Then we know if you mean it. Because then he starts stripping your boyfriend, your girlfriend. He strips your relationship. He strips you bare, like he did Abraham. Get out of your country. He strips you bare. Then we know if you really mean what we mean. For many people, they start complaining. Why? Oh, why God? Oh, why God? See, the disciples caught all the fish, all the blessings. They did not stay in the boat to enjoy a boat full of fish. After he blessed them, they left it to get back into his presence. Are you hearing me? And when they got on the shore, on that shore, they found fish that Jesus was making another fish. The fish that was on the shore is different to the fish that they caught in the boat. Do you know the difference between the fish that Jesus had and the one they had in the boat? Fire. Fire. I don't care how big the blessing is. If he is not there, we have to have the internal integrity, fortitude, sincerity in pursuit of God to leave it and get back to him. But sometimes the applause of man, the fame, the opportunities, it can corrupt our thinking. And we start to fall in love with the work of God and not the God of the work. We start to fall in love with the anointing of God on our life and not the one who gave it. So we end up functioning in an anointing that's drawing the crowd while we're dying on the inside. The intimacy is weak, but the crowds are gathering. And the momentum is building. And the problem is no one knows that you're dying on the inside. Because everyone is wanting the anointing. Whereas God is wanting to do something deeper. He's wanting to do an inner working in us. I am convinced that this end time move of the Spirit, as the Lord is bringing these alliances together, we are going to begin to build something that the gates of hell will truly not prevail. The Lord is wanting to recruit some end-time warriors that are ready to die. Ready to die. Ready to die. Do you remember the three Hebrew boys? Do you remember the three Hebrew boys? They said, God is able to deliver us. Three levels of faith. God is able to deliver us. Many of us believe that. That's easy. And then they took it a step further. They said, God will deliver us. In other words, it's not general faith. We believe he will do it. But then they added a third component that the Western church, and even the church I believe in Nigeria, has no concept for at all. You know what the third component? If he doesn't, does your faith have a dimension for if he doesn't? And in that situation that he doesn't, what will you do? Because many people, they have no paradigm for if he doesn't. But the three Hebrew boys were raised in such a way that they had internal fortitude. That even if he doesn't, we will not bow to the Babylonian system. Because our minds are conditioned to receive certain things and our breakthroughs and how we want God to move. When he doesn't come through the way we want, oftentimes we are depleted. And if the lack of breakthrough is depleting your faith, I want to say to you, your faith is not strong. Because these boys, we know the end of the story. He came through. But as far as they were concerned, if he didn't, they knew what they would do if he didn't. Do you know what you would do if he doesn't? Peter said, or the disciples said, Lord, where else can we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. We can't go anywhere else. Paul says, death is a work in us, but life is a work in you. When was the last time you died? Wasn't it Catherine Coleman that said, I died 1,000 deaths? Many of us are too alive. You know what? Many of us are even too good at praying. We're too good. We don't realize our inability, our inefficiency. So the humility, I believe one of the prayer leaders said, the humility is not quite where it needs to be. Every little thing, we get lifted up. Every little promotion, we get lifted. We want to show off. We want the world to see us. Check me out. Look at what, and the motive, what's driving us is self. And God wants to kill that thing. How many of you remember Peter? One moment, he's saying to Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. In fact, let's look at that. Matthew 16:22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine rebuking Jesus. What audacity. Some of you are rebuking him. In your heart, you may not be saying it with your words, but you're offended at God. Because you prayed this and it didn't happen. You did this and it hasn't happened. And there is an offense in your heart. Didn't Jesus say, blessed is he who is not offended because of me? So there's a blessing in having the opportunity to be offended, but choosing not to. You exist for God, not him for you. You're here for his agenda, not your agenda. And sometimes his agenda would offend your flesh to reveal your heart. Because you don't even know what's in you. Nigeria, wake up. There is great potential for the end time revival locked up in your loins. And that power needs to impact not just this nation, the nations. But I believe there is a death that Lord wants to bring to many of your ambitions. Now look at what happened to Peter here. He is rebuking Jesus. Far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you. Then Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. Listen to this. For you were not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So, Peter's mind was full of the things of men, not the things of God. Now, when I reflect on Peter, why he got to this place, I can kind of see why he might have said what he said to Jesus. Peter's left his business. Peter's left everything. Now, in Peter's mind, this is the Messiah that will save the nation, destroy the Roman occupation, take charge. This is it. Imagine the feeling of importance Peter had, that he was one of the three closest people to the most powerful person in the land. Can you picture that? Imagine how he felt. Do you think he felt important? Do you think he felt significant? I'm sure he did. Because this is not just any random prophet. This is the Messiah. So in his mind, this is it. In fact, some of the apostles were fighting amongst each other about who would sit on this side and this side. Because they had an understanding that this was a significant opportunity. The opportunity of a lifetime to be connected to the most significant person. Now, with that state of mind, that person now comes and says to Peter, I'm going to the cross. Now, do you understand why that's a problem? He's thinking, you're the most significant thing that's ever happened to me. And then Jesus comes and says, I'm going to die. No, you can't die. I've given up everything to follow you. Our destinies hang on your head. You cannot die. It's like Apostle Romer coming and saying, I'm going to die. You're like, no, no, no. How many knows what I'm talking about? It's like, no. You cannot. Are you with me? So there was an investment he had in that relationship. But part of that investment was connected to his personal ambition. Are you hearing me? Let's read on. Jesus says, get behind me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him do what? Let him do what? Come on, shout that out, Nigeria. Let him do what? Let him deny himself, his ambitions, his desires. And then he's going to pick up his own cross. So there is a cross for you to pick up. Have you picked it up? Because if you pick it up, you will know you've picked it up. Because you cannot die and not know you're dying. See, when I used to live in Nigeria, I left when I was 17, we used to kill chickens. In the UK, you go to Asda and Tesco and the shops to buy chickens. I don't know if it's the same here. When I lived in Ibadan, you go to the backyard, you grab the chicken. Anyone knows how to kill a chicken here? In the UK, we have lots of vegetarians, but I don't expect a vegetarian in this room. If you are here, we're going to pray for deliverance for you later. So you grab the chicken, you put one leg on the legs. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Another leg on the wings. And then you do what? You. Okay. Now, have you ever heard the phrase running around like a headless chicken? It is real. Because if you take your foot off that chicken, what happens? It gets up and starts without a head, it is still alive. Do you know why? Because even the chicken does not want to die. What makes you think your flesh wants to die? There's no way you can die and not know you're dying. He wants to kill you to make you. He's not going to make you without killing you. If you don't know the process of death, you have not known him yet. You're praying in tongues, but he hasn't slain you. You say, Lord, slay me. Evan Roberts prayed, Lord, bend me. Bend me. Do you know that experience? Or are you just praying in tongues without realizing there are secret ambitions that have not been to the cross? Peter was in this place where his ambitions were building up. And this opportunity came. The crazy thing is, a few verses earlier, he was a mouthpiece for God, speaking the word of the Lord. Now, he's a mouthpiece for the devil. That's like many of us. One moment, you're praying in tongues, saying the right things. The next moment, the devil has hijacked your vocal cords, releasing his ideologies. You know why? Unsanctified ambition that has not been to the cross becomes a platform for the devil to release his ideologies. Without knowing it, you can help Babylon advance. Because you have not died. You want a big ministry? Why do you want it? Do you know not everyone is going to have a big ministry? And there's some people that God's going to ordain that they will be kept hidden. Maybe you're one of those. Are you okay with that? Why do you want to start that YouTube account? Why do you want many views? Why? What is, have you ever taken a moment to examine what is driving my desire? What, this thing, even though I want to serve God, what is, because you can be praying intensely, but you're powering the wrong kingdom. Because the devil would advance you too. Because he can tell that you're not dead. So he looks at you and goes, okay, this one, we can use them in 10 years' time. Because that anointing they're praying for, it would increase upon them. And God starts to use them in miracles. And then they have a huge following. And now they're on the heights of influence. And all the enemy does, he switches you in the spirit. No one knows you've switched. Because of... You know... My heart is so grieved because, guys, keep going, don't stop. Because when I look across Nigeria, I see wasted potentials. And the Lord wants to rescue us. Because if the Lord does not intervene now, people, the mess we're seeing right now, even the circus in the Christian world, many of us will repeat it. Because you don't even know what he's wanting to deal with in you. He wants you to embrace the cross. He wants you to embrace the way of death. The life of prayer is going to come by death. You are going to die. And the crazy thing is, the devil also wants to kill you. God wants to kill you and the devil wants to kill you. God wants to kill your flesh. The devil wants to destroy your destiny. The more you give into the flesh, the more you're leaning into the ideas of the devil. And he's going to keep having his way. And you know, he plays a long game. He has strategies. And I'm saying, Lord, let it be like when Jesus said, the God of this world comes and finds nothing in me. Somebody needs to say, Lord, help me die. I know this is not a popular prayer. I'm not here to preach a message that makes you happy. I'm here to fulfill an assignment. Because when I look across this nation as an outsider, I see too many egos. I see too many people that just want to flash and look cool. I see too many people saying, oh, I'm tapping into the grace. I'm tapping into this. But what they're really saying is, I just want that influence. I want to be like you on a big platform. I want to have opportunity. Whereas God is wanting people that just want to die and want to be an example. Flesh will not glory in its presence. This message is only for the revivalists in here. The ones that carry that same spirit, like Evan Roberts, like the John Knox, like those who are really desperate, not for what God can do for them, but for what God can do in them, in them, in them. Bend me, Lord. Hey, bend us, Lord. We're at a critical juncture in the history of the move of God in this nation. We've seen a repeat of the same patterns over and over again. May this generation not repeat the mistakes of the fathers who have gone before us. We want to do it right, Lord. Bend us, Lord. For the sake of those who came here and gave their lives for the gospel, the missionaries who sacrificed, who sweat blood on this soil and gave everything. Oh Father, let the seed of this ground raise up. Let it rise up and begin to be an authentic voice of revival and awakening. The nations need Nigeria. Did you hear me? The nations need Nigeria. But not the selfish Nigerians, not the selfish intercessors. The nation needs dead intercessors that are birthing life. Because God is on a recruitment mission right now. He's looking for warriors that will stand with him in these last days. Where are the warriors of God? Where are the end time voices? The ones who don't care what man has to say. The ones who don't care what people have to say. The ones who are saying, Lord, whatever it looks like, lay your hand on me. I just want to fulfill your agenda, not mine. Bend me, Lord, for the sake of revival. I choose the path of death, even if I don't have the opportunities. Oh, Lord, mark me, Holy Ghost. Asukayanas, Elias, 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 Ikatolataya Pasos, Evastus Nalas. I need to die to those ambitions. Let your life come through me, Lord. We are at a critical point in revival history. Nigeria must arise. Nigeria must arise. The intercessors must wake up. Hey, Ebatatalas, Ikatatalas, Ebatatalas, Ibakatosas, Aye, Esukatalene Mananama, Aye, 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 Etalosis, Etalosis, Hey, there's no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. The revivalists must arise. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There is a call to martyrdom. There is a call to martyrdom going out in the Spirit. He said, who will die for us? Who are the ones that are ready to die in this generation? We're not going to buy into the competition, the ambitions, the egos, the show-offs, the online arguments. No, we're here for something deeper. Nothing this world has to offer will satisfy us. I want to make a call. And I don't want you to answer this lightly, because I believe the Lord wants to mark some of you today with that spirit of martyrdom. He wants to mark you. I remember, you know, because I travel, a lot of my ministry is mostly in the U.S., in the U.K. So this is the first time a Nigerian has invited me to Nigeria to minister. And I'm so thankful for that. But recently I was flying into the U.K. I looked out the window of the plane. As I looked through the window, I looked at the landscape of Manchester. And as I'm looking at the landscape, the cry that came from me was, Lord, I said, Lord, I'm ready to die. And when I said I'm ready to die, in my head, I thought, if I physically have to be killed, Lord, I am ready to die that you would reach the British Isles. It was this cry bubbling up in me. And the Lord is looking for intercessors today that carry that spirit of martyrdom. Remember Moses? God could have built a great nation with Moses. If his ambition was still alive, he would have said, yes, Lord, destroy them and use me. But because the wilderness killed his ambition, he picked what the Lord really intended. Even though the Lord said, I want to destroy them, he picked that the Lord didn't really, are you with me? Because he was dead. Many of us would have gone, yes, Lord, destroy them and use me instead. The Lord is wanting to mark some people here with that spirit of the martyrdom. And what it's going to look like is, some of you may physically die, because I know there's some, you know, persecution in these parts. Some of you may physically die, but even if you don't physically die, you carry that spirit, because you're dying every day. You're dying. Lord, I am dying to that opportunity, because I know you want me to stay right here. I may even live in what looks like lack, but I will still embrace this life because I know I'm honoring you. You've given all you know to give, but you feel like you're still not having the breakthroughs. Why don't you seek first His kingdom and keep seeking it? So here's the call. If you're saying yes to the spirit of martyrdom, the life of prayer that's going to be produced from you would have incredible quality to bring real shifts over regions. I feel the Lord is looking for a quorum. I don't know if you know what a quorum is. Like on the day of Pentecost, there was 120. They were quorum for the outpouring. In Nigeria, God is looking for a quorum of martyrs that have that same spirit, such that He can now begin to rest and begin to use them to advance His agenda. If that's you, just lift your cry to heaven. Say, Lord, mark me with the spirit of martyrdom. I will die a thousand deaths if that's what it takes for you to lay hold on my life. Not so that I can be famous, but so that your kingdom can advance. So that your kingdom can advance. Ayana bala na bala na bala na bala na bala ba. Haya ba 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 ba. Hey. Come on, cry out to him. Say, Lord, mark me with the spirit of martyrdom. Mark me. I want to embrace the life of death in prayer. We want to die for your glory. Intercessors that will birth the next move. Intercessors that would advance the kingdom. Intercessors that don't even care about their life. Hey! We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not counting our life even unto death. The spirit of martyrdom is necessary for overcoming. Oh! Ay, 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 ay. Just lift your hands with me, those of you responding. Here we are, Lord. You said you want to mark us, so mark us. Mark us. We would never be ordinary. We would never pray for the mundane in the way that even other Christians in this nation do. No. We're not after just our breakthrough. We're after your what you want. Your kingdom is our agenda. Revival. The nation is your agenda is our agenda. Mark us with your burdens. Like you dealt with Moses, deal with us. Let those ambitions die. That we will step into resurrection. For there will be no resurrection without crucifixion. We choose the crucifixion that we may step in the resurrection life in prayer and in intercession. Hallelujah.